We're holding on Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We left off that there's Mishnayos that tell us that there's a certain amount of time before Shmita when already you have to stop plowing your fields, because at that point the plowing is not really benefiting the crops that are growing there that year. It's already preparing for the next year, and the next year is Shmita. So we said in a grain field, that would be until Pesach, and in a field of trees, you have until Shavuos. Then we said that Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rebbe, and his Beis Din decided to cancel that and say that you're allowed to until much closer to Shemitah. So we're discussing where exactly does this whole point of stopping sometime before Shemitah come from. So first we ask that... it's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. So in that case, how could Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din cancel it? So we answered that there's actually two different stages. There's 30 days before Shemitah, which is halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. You're not allowed to plow or do other kinds of preparation like that. And then you have midrabanan of Shammai and Hillel. There's that they added from Pesach and Shavuos respectively. And then Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din put it back to the way it was according to the original halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, where you have after Pesach and after Shavuos until 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, you can do all the plowing you want. So now the Gemara asks, Mahani Hilchos Eninu. So you're telling me that this concept of stopping work in the field sometime before Shmita is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai? Kroy Ninu. We actually learn it from a pasuk. The Tnan, or the Tanya really, it's a Braisa. We learned it most recently in Rosh Hashanah a few months back. When the pasuk says b'chodesh v'akotzer tishbos, the pasuk says you should work for 6 days, you rest on Shabbos, and then it says b'chodesh v'akotzer tishbos, you should rest from plowing and from harvesting. Now the question is, what does that have to do with Shabbos? Well, not what does that have to do with Shabbos, but why are we singling out? You have 39 malachas of Shabbos. Why is the pasuk singling out those two? So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is going to tell us that's not talking about Shabbos at all. That half of the pasuk is actually talking about a din of Shmita. So Rabbi Akiva, it's needless to say that we're talking about plowing and harvesting of Shmita year itself. The pasuk already tells us in Parshas Bahar, which is the main place where it talks about Shmita, it says you're not allowed to plow, you're not allowed to sow your field, and you're not allowed to harvest, and you're not allowed to prune rather your vineyard. And we know therefore that from that various other agricultural activities are also also. So what would it be adding over here? At the very least, why would it have to mention kotzer if we're saying over there in the psukim in Parshas Bahar it says clearly that you're not allowed to harvest your field? What the pasuk is telling you when it says b'chodesh v'akotzer tishbos, it means chodesh shel erev shviyas. It means plowing that you do during the year before Shmita, shenichnas l'shviyas, which is going into Shmita year. Meaning, in other words, there's a point, as we said before, where if you're plowing during that time, then it's strictly for the benefit of the coming year. And the pasuk is telling you, therefore, you're not allowed to do that. V'kotzer shel shviyas shiyotzer l'metzor shviyas. And the harvest of Shvius that's going out to Metzor Shvius, meaning if you have crops that started growing during Shmita and they grew to a certain amount, generally speaking, it's one third. We learned in Rosh Hashanah, we had a Sylvia on the subject, but generally speaking, it's one third of their growth. So if they grew that amount during Shmita and now they're continuing to grow after Shmita, then when you harvest them after Shmita, even though it's already the year after, you still have to keep the dinim of Shmita regarding those crops. So Rabbi Akiva is saying that b'chodesh v'akotzer tishbos is not talking about Shmita itself. It's actually talking about before and after Shmita, where you have preparations for Shmita or fruit or produce that's growing from Shmita into after Shmita, as the case may be. That's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel says no. The pasuk is in fact talking about Shabbos. Now, and what is it? So the question again is, why does it need to mention these these particular malachas, if you have many other malachas that are also on Shabbos, it teaches us ma chorish rishus. Just like plowing is something which is always rishus, there's never a time when you're required a pialacha to plow, because even we're going to talk about now, you have to harvest the barley for the korban omer, but you don't have to plow a field for it. If you find a field that was already previously plowed, then you can go ahead and plant in it. You don't have to plow for the sake of the mitzvah. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says, the pasuk is telling you, ach kotzer rishus, the same way, what kind of harvesting is also on Shabbos, only the kind which is optional, the kind that you do for yourself. Yotzech, tzira oimer, shi mitzvah, as opposed to harvesting the oimer, which is a mitzvah, and that you do even if the 16th of Nisan comes out on Shabbos. So according to Rabbi Akiva, at least, we're learning the concept of Tosfos Shvi'is from a pasuk, so therefore it can't be halacha l'moshe b'sinai. Now, why do Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel have their different opinions? Why do they each understand the pasuk the way they do? So Tosfos explains like this: because after all, the words b'chorish v'kotzer tishbos sound like they're telling us some kind of issur. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva takes the view that, well, if they're telling us some kind of issur, then it's not like Rabbi Shmuel is saying that just the opposite, they're telling us a hefter. It must be, it's telling us some kind of issur. Well, since it's not for Shabbos, then it must be for Shemitah. Even though that means taking that half of the pasuk out of its context, because the context was talking about Shabbos. On the other hand, Rabbi Shmuel says, you have to look at the pasuk in context. The beginning of the pasuk is talking about Shabbos, therefore the end of it has to be talking about Shabbos as well. If it means that it's not going to be telling us a chumra, it's going to be telling us a kula. Okay, so be it, says Rabbi Shmuel. Anyway, the point is, again, so we said that there's halacha l'moshe b'sinai, that when you have a field, when you have a base saw that has 10 young trees in it, then you're allowed to plow the whole thing until Rosh Hashanah, implying that any other kind of field you're not. You have to stop sometime before Rosh Hashanah. That's Tosfos Shvi'is. So we said it's halacha l'moshe b'sinai. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva is learning it from a pasuk. The definition of halacha l'moshe b'sinai is we don't learn it from a pasuk. So Ela Omer of Nachum Yitzchok. So rather, Rabbi Nachum Yitzchok says, fine, let's revisit that halacha l'moshe b'sinai and see exactly what it's telling us. Ki gniri hilchasa, when we learned the halacha l'moshe b'sinai about the esenotias, l'mishri yalda. Then it was to tell us specifically that you're allowed to plow in a field that has the 10 young trees, yalda means young, the 10 young trees until Rosh Hashanah. Kroy, then when you have the psukim, from which, according to Rabbi Akiva, we're learning from the psukim the concept of Tosfos Shvi'is, what do we learn from that pasuk? L'meisa Skena, that when you have a field that has old trees in it, then 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, you have to stop working in it. So Rav Nachman is saying, in other words, that we had a halacha l'moshe b'sinai that gives a heter for young trees, but then you have the pasuk that tells us for old trees that it's also. But the Gemara says, in that case, still, the kivin de hilchsa l'mishri yalda, lav memelus kein asura, what do you need that for? Once we have a halacha l'moshe b'sinai that you're allowed to do it for young trees, automatically that implies that you're also to do it for old trees. So you don't need a pasuk for it. You're right. We have to answer hilchsa l'Rabbi Shmuel, kroy l'Rabbi Akiva. We have to answer that according to Rabbi Shmuel, you need Rabbi Shmuel, who doesn't learn it from the pasuk, because he uses b'chorosh of a kotzer tishbos for a different limud. So according to him, you're going to have to say that the halacha l'moshe b'sinai is implying both that you need, that you're allowed to do it for young trees and that it's also to do it for old trees. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, we don't need the halacha l'moshe b'sinai. We're learning it from the pasuk because he learns that b'chorosh of a kotzer tishbos is teaching us about Tosfos Shvi'is. So it would come out according to that. So that's why you have both. You have the halacha l'moshe b'sinai. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's necessary because he doesn't learn from the pasuk. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's maybe not necessary. And in fact, some of the achronim talk about that. In fact, maybe this would be an example where the Gemara was telling us before that this is a halacha l'moshe b'sinai, but maybe Rabbi Akiva would disagree and say it's not a halacha l'moshe b'sinai. You can't argue with a halacha l'moshe b'sinai, but you can argue whether something is a halacha l'moshe b'sinai or not. So Rabbi Akiva would hold that it's actually not. Which in that case, does that mean that Rabbi Akiva would say that, does that mean that Rabbi Akiva would say that even with Matios, that even with young plants, you have to stop plowing for them 30 days before Rosh Hashanah? Or maybe would he agree that you're still allowed to go until Rosh Hashanah? Different Achronim talk about that thing. Anyway, so we can answer that, it would be as follows then. You have a pasuk, according to Rabbi Akiva. You have, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you don't have the pasuk. Instead, you have a halacha l'mashvi Sinai. Both of those would say that you're also to plow within 30 days of upcoming Shmita. Then came later Chachamim, Bishamah and Bishillel, and said that in a wheat field, in a grain field, you can't have stopped even earlier after Pesach, and in a tree field, you have to stop Shavuos time. Then Rabbi Gamliel, basically, you know, he canceled that and brought it back to the way it was originally, that you have until 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. So by the way, I mean, earlier the Gemara had said at the top of Gimel Amud Beis that the Gemara had brought a possibility that we said that when we brought over there a statement of Rabbi Jimmy, Yocho Yoka ala Tosfos, and we have a pasuk that teaches us that you're potter, and we said, what is Tosfos? We said one possibility is it means these 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, which is Tosfos Shvius, you would think that not only you also to plow during that time, but if you do, you get Malkus. And we're saying that ultimately we learn, well, we're going to learn now in the upcoming piece of Gemara now, why in fact you don't get Malkus for it. So the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Now, Rabbi Yochanan says he was a whole different way of explaining. Again, we were discussing the question: how is Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din able to override something which is halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim? So now we're answering that there's a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim according to Rabbi Shmuel. There is a pasuk according to Rabbi Akiva. But fine, either of those only tells us 30 days. What Rabbi Gamliel did was he took away the time beyond before 30 days. But now Rabbi Yochanan says, no, what it is Rabbi Gamliel, the Beis Din, midar raisa potalahu. What happened was Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din daushin a posit from the Torah to say that overrides the halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. Namely, my timer, gomer Shabbos, mishabbos bereshis. Because they learned by Exeter Shava of the word Shabbos from the weekly Shabbos. Shabbos Bereshis in Gemara terminology doesn't mean like we use nowadays, meaning the week when we read Parashas Bereshis. It means the Shabbos that has to do with the creation of the world, namely the weekly Shabbos. We use that because we have the Shabbos Ha'oretz, which is Shmita. Yeah, we find that Yom Tovim are called Shabbos. So therefore, Shabbos Bereshis is a term used to mean the weekly Shabbos. So we learn by Exeter Shava from that. Ma lahalam hi asura lefaneo l'achareo mutarin. Just like when it comes to the weekly Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos itself, but you are allowed to do malacha before and after it. Now, Tosfos points out there is a concept of Tosfos Shabbos as well, but that's only a tiny bit. So here, fine, maybe you'd need a tiny bit, but certainly you wouldn't need necessarily 30 days. Afkan hi asura lefaneo l'achareo mutarin. So the same way, Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din said, by the same token, with Shvius, you're only also doing Shemitah itself, you're allowed to before and after. So therefore they said that you're allowed to do, so it's not only that they're overriding that you're allowed to plow after Pesach or after Shavuos respectively, but even that you'd be allowed to within the 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. That answers, by the way, so now when we said on Gimel Amud Beis that you would think that you would think you get Malkus for the Tosfos, and we're saying that not, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that's what it meant. Because you would think that since the Torah tells you to do Tosfos Shvius, you would think that it's considered Poro Shvius to the extent you get Malkus for being over on it. But we're saying no, because just like you don't get Malkus for doing Malacha during Tosfos Shabbos, the same way you wouldn't get Malkus for doing Malacha during Tosfos Shvius. But Maskus Lord of Ashi, Rashi says, how are they able to do that? How are they able to douse in a posit to override the halacha that we had before? Manda Amar Hilchasa, according to the opinion that we said before, that it's halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim, that you can't plow for a certain amount of time before Rosh Hashanah, 30 days. Asik Zera Shava Akra Hilchasa. Are you telling me you're going to take a Zera Shava and use it to override the halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim? What happened to another don Gzera Shava Me'atzmei? A person can't come up with their own Gzera Shava. So how could their Gzera Shava that they came up with now override the halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim? and Amanda Amakra, and according to Rabbi Akiva, who learns it from a pasuk, Asik Zeta Shava Akra Kra. Again, are you telling me a Zeta Shava that they came with what with on their own is going to override what the pasuk is telling you because of a Chodesh of a Kotzer Tishbos, and that you'd be allowed to work all the way till Rosh Hashanah? How can that be? No. Ela Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, no, here's what's going on. Rav Gamliel Beis Din is Sabri Lachi Rabbi Shmuel. Rav Gamliel and his Beis Din held like Rabbi Shmuel, who says that Tosfos Shviyos, we don't learn from a pasuk, we learn from Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai. The Chig Miri Hilchasa, when we learn the Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai, when does it apply? Bizman Shabbos Mikdash Kayam, only when the Beis Mikdash is standing, Dumya de Niso Hamayim, because it's similar to Niso Hamayim. Meaning, in other words, what did we say? We said there were three halachas on which we said that all of them are halacha l'moshe v'sinai. We said Esen Tzias, this business about that if you have ten young trees, then you're allowed to plant you're allowed to plow the entire field, the entire Beis Sa'ah for their sake until Rosh Hashanah. And from that we deduce, therefore, that means that older trees you would not be allowed to do that. Then we had Arava, which is the where they stood up Arava around the Mizbeach and walked around the Mizbeach, as we learned in the Sechah Sukkah, and Nisuch HaMayim. So, what's the point of putting all three of them together? Rav Gamliel and his Beis Din figured out that the point of putting those all together is that not just that they were asked in the Beis Medrash at the same time, and the answer was given at the same time, there is a real connection between them, namely, Arava and particularly Nisuch HaMayim apply only when there's a Beis Medrash. So therefore, we learn from that the Esser Netiyos also only applies when there's a Beis Mikdash. Abba was manchein Beis Mikdash kayem loy, but not when the Beis Mikdash is destroyed. By the time Rav Gamliel became Nasi, the Beis Mikdash was destroyed already 130 or 150 or so years. But up until that point, they'd still been keeping this halacha. Now, Rav Gamliel and his Beis Din pointed out that actually the halacha of Moshe Sinai is really meant to apply only when the Beis Mikdash is standing. So now the result of that is that you are in fact allowed to plow all the way until Rosh Hashanah. So that answer is therefore, when we had before Mishnayos that we quoted that said that you have to have Tosfos Shviyos and that there's a certain amount of time before Shmita when you're not allowed to plow, now we're saying, according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Ashi, that's the Maskana of the Gemara, that's only when the Beis Mikdash is standing. So when the Beis Mikdash is standing, then you have a halacha l'moshe v'sinai tells you that until 30 days before Shmita you can't plow, and then you have a din d'rabbanan on top of that of b'shamah and b'shilo, that beginning already from Pesach and a wheat in a grain field or Shavuos in a tree field, you're not allowed to plow. When the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, none of that applies, and you're allowed to plow all the way until Shmita itself. So then Tosfos Shviyos no longer applies, even when it did apply, as we said before. You wouldn't have gotten Malkus for doing Malacha during that time, because to that extent we do learn from Shabbos Bereshis that the Tosfos does not have the same din as the Iftar. Okay, so that's that. Now getting back to dinim of Chol HaMoed. We said in the Mishnah, Abba lo yimeg shomim u'me'akilon, we said you're allowed to water a beis ha-shochen, a field that's dry and needs irrigation. You're allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed, we said, but only from, you're allowed to use a spring of water, but you're not allowed to fill it up from meg shomim, from a pond or something that has rainwater, pond or pit or whatever where you collected rainwater, or u'me'akilon, or from water that you have to draw with a kilon. With a kiloin, which we said, water of a kiloin, we would say a kiloin is a deep pit where you have to, it takes a tremendous amount of tircha to draw the water out of it. You may need a whole thing over there with a wooden arm with a bucket attached to it. And so you're not allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. So we said you're not allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. So the question is, b'shlema mei kiloin, I understand why you can't water from a kiloin because it's very deep. Ika tircha yaseiros. So it would be too much tircha, and that the Chachamim said you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, even though it's necessary for the people. So, because we said one of the rules of Chol HaMoed is that you're allowed to do things where there's going to be dover ha'avod, where there's going to be something that's going to be lost. In this case, the field will dry up if you don't irrigate it, and the crops will be lost, but you're still not allowed to do tircha yaseiros. And drawing water from a kilo and from a deep pit like that, where would be tircha yaseda. Ela meg shamim my tircha ika. What's the problem with meg shamim? What's the problem with doing from a pond or a pit that has rainwater in it? Now Tosfos points out the Gemara is going to talk about soon that if you have a stream or something like that where sometimes the water dries up, then indeed you have rules that you can't use it for watering on Chol HaMoed, because the Chachamim are concerned that if it dries up, then you're going to take steps that are also on Chol HaMoed to get more water for your crops. But over here, let's assume that it's not going to dry up. So why should you not be allowed to water from it on Chol HaMoed? Amar Rabbi Ila, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Gzeira make shamim otu make kilon. So Rabbi Ila says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, because it's Gzeira, if you use a pit with rainwater, then you may come to use a kiloin pit. Now, usually we say you don't make a Gzeira on top of a Gzeira. The Ritzvah says, okay, this is one of those examples where you would say, E loy ha loy kaima ha. If you don't make both parts of the Gzeira, then neither part is going to be able to stand on its own. If you tell people, don't use a kiloin, but you tell them you're allowed to use make shamim, then people are not going to realize the distinction, and they're going to end up using a kiloin as well. So it's all part of the same Gzeira. Rav Ashi says you don't even need that. Make shamim gufayu the day you make kiloin also. The using rainwater itself eventually is going to result in using a kiloin, because what happens? You're talking about a pit full of rainwater. Eventually, as you use more and more of the water in it, the water level is going to go lower and lower, and eventually you're going to need to draw from it water like you do from a kiloin. So it's going to have more tircha. So therefore, to begin with, the Chachamim would say that you can't use a pit of meg shamim. And the Gemara points out the kamiflagi b'dirab zera. Now, so Rav Ila versus Rav Ashi, what the underlying argument is based on what Rav Zera says. The Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rabba Bar Yumi, Amar Shmuel, Nahores Hamoshchim Mayim Min HaAgamim. When you have rivers where water is flowing to them from swamps, so you have a swamp and then you have a river coming out of it. Rashi over here uses an expression that we're talking about a swamp where the water, it does sometimes dry up. However, Achronim explained that statement of Rashi is actually misplaced and it belongs further down in the Sugya. Right now, at this point in the Sugya, we're assuming that swamps don't dry up, that they always remain wet, and therefore that the rivers that come out of them are constantly going to be flowing. So we're saying that rivers that flow from such swamps or ponds, mutar lahashkis man b'chol haShamoed, you're allowed to water your field from them on Chol HaMoed. So the machlokes would be, do we accept what Rav Zera says or not? So Rav Ila would say that no, even though the swamp never dries up, we still make a Zera against using it. Whereas Rav Ashi would say that the only problem with a pit full of rainwater is that it may eventually become a kiloin as the water level drops. Here, Rav Zera is telling us that the water level never drops, and therefore that you're able to use them. So Rav Ashi would agree with Rav Zera, and Rav Ila would not. So that's it. So Rav Ashi agrees with what Rav Zera is saying, and Rav Ila disagrees with what Rav Zera is saying. Okay, now let's analyze that detail. Now let's analyze that din a little further. Gufa, getting back to what we said, Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Bar Yumi, Amar Shmuel. When you have a river that flows out of a swamp, we said, Rav Zera said, Mutar lahashkis man b'chol haShamoed, you would be allowed to water your field with that water on Chol HaMoed. And again, we said, Rav Ila, now we said, would disagree with that and say that you can't, for the same reason that he says that you can't use rainwater. On the other hand, Rav Ashi is only concerned about that the water may dry up, and therefore, since here it's not going to dry up, then there's no problem. And the same way, and sort of Ashi would say, only when you have a pit of rainwater, which is likely, where the water level is likely to drop over time, only then would the Mishnah be saying it's also. But again, now we're saying, sort of Zera is saying that if you have a river that comes out of a swamp, then since the water level is always going to remain high, then therefore you're allowed to water from it on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, Eisvei Rav Yumia l'Rav Zera. So now Rav Yumia asks Rav Zera, what do you mean? We say in our Mishnah, you're not allowed to use water from, you're not allowed to use rainwater to water your Beis HaShofen, and you're not allowed to use water from a kiloin. So why should this be any different? Omalei, so Reb Zera answers him, Yumia Bri, my son Yumia. He does not literally a son, but he's a Talmud, and a Talmud is like a son. Hani Agamim de Bavel, you should know the swamps that are located in Bavel, and after all, Reb Zera, who said this, said in the name of Shmuel, who's from Bavel, Kimaya de Paski Domu, they're like water that never stops. Those swamps always remain full of water all seasons of the year, and therefore there's no problem that they're going to dry up. So therefore, it's not like made shamim at all. The Ritva brings another possibility. The word bri over here is not bri, but bori. He said to him, Yumia, bori. It's very clear that these swamps always remain full. So the Gemara goes on. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Hapsikus v'habrechus, psikus and brechus. So Rashi that we have in front of us over here says that those are the same thing. Rashi Ksaviyad, which seems to be more the original Rashi, says that there's a difference. A psika is a pond that's not, you haven't fixed it up at all. You just, it's a natural pond, you haven't shaped it or anything. Whereas a brecha would be one that you actually shaped, you made it a particular, you made it round, for example. And the different explanation some Rishonim have is psikas are square, brechas are round, whatever it is. Shinismalu mayim me'erev yamtiv, if those were, even though they were filled up with water already on erev yamtiv, also, lahashkis man b'chulashamoyed, you're not allowed to water your field with them on chalamoyed. Because, again, the water level is going to drop over time, and then you're gonna, and then, like we said, you're gonna use a kiloin in order to get water out of them. But if you have a water channel that flows between them, mutter, then you're allowed to, because then even if the psikas or brechas dry up, then the psikas and brechas are reservoirs for rainwater, but fine, eventually, even if those dry up, you still have the amasamayim and you'll continue watering your field from that, and therefore there's no problem that we're not concerned that you're going to go and take steps to get water from someplace else. So Rashi over here seems to be saying that the problem is that when you have only psikas and brechas and you don't have an amasamayim, the problem is if it dries up, then you're going to go bring water from someplace else in buckets and it's going to be a big tircha, which is also on chalamoyim. The Rosh doesn't like that explanation because he says, realistically, you're going to go start bringing buckets of water on your shoulder. You're never going to be able to water a whole field that way anyway. So he says, okay, but what it is maybe you're going to take other steps. You may go start digging out. You may start digging channels or diverting channels or whatever in order to bring water to your field. And that would be something which is also on Chalamayim. But anyway, we said if there's an amasamayim, then it's mutter, because then even if the psikas or brechas dry up, you're still going to be able to use the amasamayim. Now, Amar HaPasla, Vahu Sheruba, Shal Oysa Sada, Shoysama Oysa Amasamayim. Now, HaPapa says the condition for that to be mutter is only if you can water most of the field from that water channel. So if the water channel has enough water in it, that you're able to water most of the field from it, and then you use the psikas and brechas as kind of backup, then fine, then you're allowed to do all that on chalamoyed, because you use the psikas and brechas as much as possible, you use the reservoirs of rainwater as much as possible. When you're done with that, when the water level drops too low, then you'll start using the amasamayim, and fine, the amasamayim itself is big enough, has enough water in it to water most of the field, and therefore that's fine. But Rav Ashi says you don't even need that. Even if the amasamayim is not big enough to water most of the field, you're still allowed to use that kind of arrangement. You're still allowed to use the psikas and brechas and then use the amasamayim for the rest. Because an amasamayim, unlike psikas and brechas, where the water is stagnant, and eventually over time you use up more of the water and the water level drops. Here, since you have an amasamayim, you have a water channel that constantly flows, neima amar, so a person is going to think to himself, okay, ilo shasya l'chad yoma, tishti l'trei plus yom. Fine, if I can't water my whole field on one day, then I'll do it over 2 or 3 days. So he's not going to go, even though the amasamayim is smallish, and he's not going to be able to water most of the field from it, okay, but he can water some of the field with it, and then he'll figure, okay, and I'll do more of it tomorrow, and I'll do more of it the next day. He's not going to come and start doing the tircha of bringing water from other places, or as the Rosh says, to go and start diverting channels or whatever to make the water flow, he'll just figure, okay, I'll water some of the field today and I'll water more of it tomorrow, etc. Okay. Another din, Tanan Rabbanan, Brecha Shene Tefes Mayin Misoda Beis HaShulchan Zu. Suppose you have a Beis HaShulchan, which is on a higher ground, and then you have on one side of it, you have a brecha, you have a pool of water, shene tefes mayim, which is dripping water. So from the pool, you have water is flowing into the beis hashulchan, and then you have and dripping off muto lahashkus nimena sode beis hashulchan acheres. So now, let's say you have another beis hashulchan on lower ground, you would be allowed to take that water that's dripping from the higher one and use it to water the lower one. So now even though it's a brecha, even though we're dealing over here with a brecha, with a pool of water, which, as we said, the water level could go down and then it'll stop flowing. But right now, since it's dripping over there, then therefore you're still allowed to continue using it. It's still dripping, therefore it's a constant thing and you're allowed to use it. So the question is, how is that? V'ha'avida d'paska. Isn't it after a while the brecha, the water level in the brecha is going to go down and then it's going to stop flowing and it's going to stop flowing? Rav Yirmiyah v'adayin hi'mitaftefet. So Rav Yirmiyah says, you're right. What we mean is when it's still dripping. So when, as long as it's still dripping from the higher one to the lower one, then you're allowed to go and catch that water and distribute it over the lower base ashol. However, Abaya says there's another condition. It also needs to be that the original spring that feeds that brecha by the top field, by the upper field, that fountain, that spring itself is still flowing. So in other words, what happens? So you have that spring is still flowing. Therefore, it's constantly feeding water into the brecha. From the brecha, it's dripping into the beis hashulchan, which is next to it, which is slightly lower, and then eventually enough water runs into there that now it's running down into the lower field. So even though the lower field is not directly fed by the mayan, even though it's only indirect, but you still have, there's a constant flow of water, and therefore you're allowed to do that. But if the original spring that fed the top one stops, then you're right, then you're not allowed to anymore, because then you have the problem of using psikus and brechas, where we said you're not allowed to use them to water your field on Chalamoyed, because as the water level gets low, you're going to go and do things that are also on Chalamoyed to get more water for your field. But, Tanya, we learn in a braisa. Reb Shimon Asyama, Shtei Arugas Zula Maila Mizu. What if you have two plots of land in your garden where one is higher than the other? An aruga is like a small plot where, like in each individual plot, you grow different vegetables or something. So suppose you have two of them. One of them is on higher ground than the other. Lo yidlam inatachtonu v'yashkes al yonah. You're not allowed to fill up water from the lower one and use it to water the higher one, because that would be too much tircha on Chalamoyim. Yes, sir. Okay. And Amar Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, afilo aruga achas, even if you have within one plot itself, within one garden plot itself, chetzya nomuch v'chetzya gavaya, half of it is lower and half of it is higher, lo yidla mimokam nomuch v'yashkan mokam gavaya, you're still not allowed to draw water from a place where it collected in the lower one and use it to water the higher one, because again, that would be tircha yaseira that you're not allowed to do on Chalamoyim. Okay. Another din, Tanan Rabbanan, madlin la yirakis, you're allowed to be madlin vegetables. Now, madlin, we're going to say in the Gemara soon, has two different possible meanings. It can mean, like we just said, for example, yidla min atachtona. So it would be meloshin dli, which is a bucket. So in other words, taking water in a bucket and watering the plants. Or we're going to see on Amud Beis that the word madlin can also mean to thin out. Sometimes you have vegetables or fruits or whatever that are growing too thickly together, and therefore they're stealing nutrients from each other, and all of them are going to end up low quality. So you pull out some of the ones in between in order to give the other ones more room to grow. So when we say madlin layirokas, so on the face of it, we're talking about that you're allowed to draw water with buckets. But we'll see soon whether that's what it means. So madlin layirokas kedei la'oichlan, you're allowed to fill up water in buckets and use it to water vegetables in order to eat them. In other words, when those vegetables are going to be ripe during Chol HaMoed, and you'll pick them and you'll eat them during Chol HaMoed. Because in general, as we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, you're allowed to do many malachas on Chol HaMoed where you're doing them for food that you're going to eat on Chol HaMoed. The imbish really yapoisan, but if you're only doing it in order to make the vegetables more beautiful, meaning you just want them to grow larger and nicer, and not necessarily is it going to be for Chol HaMoed purposes, also, then it would be also because as we learned at the beginning, as we learned back on Daf Beis, you're allowed to do things when it's for Hefsid, but here it's not Hefsid, it's only for Harvacha, it's only in order to make them grow nicer and better. So the Gemara gives an example. Ravina and Rabba Tesfa habu ka'avi go'ucha. Ravina and Rabba Tesfa were one time walking on the road. They saw a person was filling up water with buckets and using it to water vegetables on Chol HaMoed. Now, even the heter that we just had, that you're allowed to do it, is only in a Beis HaShochin. This wasn't a Beis HaShochin. This was a field that would do very nicely on rainwater. And this guy was doing it on Chol HaMoed. So Rabbi Tosfa said to Ravina, come, Rebbe, you should put him in Chayim, because he's over on Divrei Chachamim. Omalei, so Ravina said, why? What do you mean? We just said that you are allowed to fill up water in buckets in order to eat vegetables. And here, these vegetables, the pashtos, are grown far enough that he could be eating them on Chol HaMoed. So what's the problem? Omalei, so Rabbi Tosfa tells him, me sabret my madlin maya. You're thinking that the word madlin in that braisa means that you're allowed to fill up buckets of water and use it to water the vegetables. That's not what it means. My madlin, what would it mean that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed for the sake of the vegetables so that you can eat them on Chol HaMoed is shaluf. It's taking out some of the vegetables that are growing in between. Where again, you have they're planted to begin with too thickly, so then you pull out some of the ones in between to give the other ones more room to give the other ones more room to grow. So now the Braisa really telling us that if you're doing that because that's going to make the ones that you're leaving able to grow better and be edible during Chol HaMoed, then good. But if you're doing it in order to make them nicer and more beautiful, then not. Kiditznan, as in fact, we have an example from a Mishnah where we use that word madlin or medal to mean that kind of thing. The Mishnah says over there, hamedal b'gfanim, suppose a person has a vineyard where the vines are planted too close together or the grapes are growing too close together and therefore he wants to thin them out. So, kishem shehu medal b'shaloi, the same way as he's allowed to thin out the ones that belong to him, kahu medal b'shalanim, exactly the same thing he's allowed to do with the ones that belong to the poor people, which means, in other words, so as to what belongs to the poor people of what's growing in the vineyard. First of all, peah, you have to leave peah from any kind of crop, or almost any kind of crop, and grapes are one of them. So there's a section of the vineyard which is peah and which is reserved for the poor people. Also, there's olalos, which are small, not fully developed clusters of grapes. They don't have the regular shape of a cluster of grapes. They just have a few grapes individually attached here and there to the stem. So both of those, the Torah tells us you have to leave for the poor people. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that when you're going through your vineyard and you're looking where there are places where it's planted too thickly and you want to thin them out, so the same way as you're allowed to do in your area, you're allowed to do in the area that's reserved for peah or in the area, or when it comes to olalos, you're also allowed to thin them out over there. You're causing a loss for the poor people. But on the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, but you're causing them a gain because it means that the grapes that are going to be left for them are going to be better quality. Rabbi Meir says, no. The Shaloi Rashoi, he's allowed to do it with his own. The Ein Rashoi, the Shalaniim. He can't do it with what belongs to the Aniim. Maybe they would prefer to have more grapes. Maybe they would prefer to have more grapes, and then even though they're going to be lesser quality. So therefore, you have no right, says Rabbi Meir, to touch them. In any case, we see that the word medal over there means to thin them out. So by the same token, when we say over here, madlin l'yurokas, so Rabbi Tosfa is saying that how do you know that madlin means you're allowed to fill up buckets of water and use it to water the vegetables, maybe it only means that you're allowed to spin them out, where there's not much tircha in that. But maybe anything that involves tircha is osur, even when you're doing it in order to eat the vegetables on Chol HaMoed, and therefore this guy is watering his vegetables, and we should put him in cheder. Amalei, but Ravina says, don't we learn another braisa that clearly says you're allowed to madlin water for vegetables in order to eat them? So there it's clear that the word madlin means to fill up buckets of water. So therefore, you see, it is mutter where you're doing it in order to make the vegetables grow and be ripe during Chol HaMoed and be able to pick them and eat them. Amalei, so Rabbi Tesfal tells him, okay, itanya tanya. If it says in a braisa, then it says in a braisa. So there are different places where Rashi explains what that phrase means. It can mean, in other words, okay, then I retract my opinion because you have a braisa that says differently. Or it can mean, in some places, Rashi explains, it means he's saying, I learned this from my rebbein. You have a braisa, fine. I'm not necessarily taking back my opinion because of that braisa, because I learned from my rebbeim differently, and then truly they had a source for what they said, but nevertheless, fine, you know, in this case, it would mean we're not going to actually put the guy in cheirem, because okay, according to your braisa, what he's doing is allowed. But my rebbeim would still hold, and I would still hold that what he's doing is awesome. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, the ein osid ugias v'gfanim, we said you're not allowed to make ugias around grapevines. So my ubios, what are ubios? Amr of Yehuda, banki. They're what we call in Aramaic, in Babel, they call them banki, which are round ditches that you dig around the bottom of a grapevine, where the idea is that the ditch gets filled up with water, and that way the grapevine has a little reservoir of water of its own to be able to help it grow better. And the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi. In fact, we learn like that in a braisa. Eluhain ugius, what is the definition of ugius? Bedidin should be ikri zesim, but should be ikri gfanim. They are the little reservoirs that you have bad. Bedidin is like the word bad, is like the word desabad, which is a round thing into which you bring olives to press them. So therefore, so we see that ugius are round. Rashi relates it to the word, like we have by Choni Amagel. That he drew a circle around himself and stood inside it. So the word og means a circle, and therefore, in the same way, ugias means round ditches. So when you have those at the bottoms of olive trees and at the bottom of grapevines, those are ugias. So the Gemara says, Eini, so you're telling me you're not allowed to make such things during Chol HaMoed? V'hor Rav Yehuda shoda l'bnei bar tzitoi l'mevet banchi l'kaimehon. Don't we find that Rav Yehuda allowed people of bar tzitoi, which was the name of a family, it actually says it was the name of a place, so he allowed people from tzitoi l'mevet banchi l'kaimehon. He allowed them to dig such ditches for their vineyards during Chol HaMoed. The answer is, l'kasha ha'b'chadzi ha'b'atzi. It depends whether we're talking about new ones or old ones. When our Mishnah is saying it's osur, means there was never any ditch there yet, and now it would be tircha yisera to make a new one on Chol HaMoed. But when there was a ditch there, and then the ground collapsed in and fell in, so now you're allowed to redig them out on Chol HaMoed. Rishonim explain, Raivet and other Rishonim explain, that when we say over here, chadati or atiki, it would mean at least you have to have that there's something noticeable over there, that there was at one point such a ditch there. Then you're allowed to redig it out. But if the ground there shifted so much that you can't even tell that there ever was one of these ditches over there, then it would be considered new and you wouldn't be allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in Oisin Asa'ama, we said Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had said that you're not allowed to dig a water channel. An Amma, by the way, is a water channel. We talked about that on Amman Aleph. The reason why it's called an Amma is because typically they were made an Amma deep and an Amma wide. They would be as long as they need to be, and then there would be an Amma wide from one side to the other, and an Amma deep, 6 tefachim. That's why they call it an Amma. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in the Mishnah says you're not allowed to dig one out on Chol HaMoed or on Shmita. And the Chachamim say you're allowed to dig one out to begin with on Shmita, and you're allowed to on Chol HaMoed fix an Amma that got damaged, where, for example, rocks or dirt or whatever fell into it. So the Gemara says, Bishlema Moed, I understand why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that you can't make an Amma on Chol HaMoed, Mishum de Katara, because Tircha, and we're saying one of the rules of Chol HaMoed is you can't do work that involves a lot of Tircha. Ela Shvius my timer. What's the problem doing it during Shemitah? After all, during Shemitah, there's no particular thing of Tircha. You're not allowed to work the land, but fine, this is not working the land. This is making a water channel for water to flow. So what's the problem? The Gemara says, Pligubo Rab Zera, Rab Abba Bar Mem. So Rab Zera and Rab Abba Bar Mem will disagree what the problem is with making an Amma on Shvius. Chad Omer Nesh Nira Ka Oider. One says, because it looks like you're hoeing the ground. The Oider is hoeing, digging in the ground, and here, what are you doing? You're digging. So fine, you're digging over here for a water channel. But it's not going to be so obvious. It's going to look like you're digging the kind of digging that you do in order to turn over the soil and prepare it for planting. And of course, that would be also during Shemitah. So therefore, you're not allowed to do it during Shemitah either. The Chad Omer, the other one says, Nesh Machshu Agapeha Lazria. The reason is because you're making the banks of it more ready for planting. Because what happens? You dig the water channel. What do you do with the dirt that you dug out? You pile it by the sides of it. Well, now that soil, that earth that you moved is now broken up, is now softened. Now it's better for planting. So therefore, now you've prepared an area in your field which is more usable for planting. So Tosfos says, either it can be that people think that he's doing it for that purpose because he wants soft dirt in order to be able to plant in. Or the other possibility is maybe even such a thing is considered avodas karka even if he doesn't have kavana for it, because sikrei shevelo yomos. So the Gemara says my benayu. So what's the practical difference between those two explanations? And the answer is ikka benayu to call also maya basre. The nafkamina between the two reasons would be what if the water is flowing directly behind him? So in other words, you have as he's digging the water channel each time, as he digs a little more of it, then the water is flowing more in, is flowing more down the channel. So, manda omer mpnesha machshu agapeha lazria. So if you have the problem that he's taking the loose dirt and putting it by the sides of it, then, and now it's soft dirt, which is better for planting in, ikas, he still have the same problem, because the fact is he is doing that. Manda omer mpnesha nira ka'oider, but according to the opinion that the problem is that people see him digging, and it looks like he's actually digging in order to prepare the soil itself in that area where he's digging to plant. Well, then leka, there's no problem because people can see that there's water flowing right after him, and therefore it becomes very obvious that he's doing it in order to dig a channel for water. Okay, the Gemara says fine. Lamanda omer mpnei shenira ka'oder leikosh mpnei shemachshu agapeha lazria. Nu, doesn't the opinion that say that there's a concern that it looks like he's hoeing? Doesn't that, or that he's digging the ground, isn't there also the consideration about the soft dirt by the side? Why is he ignoring that? Why would he say then that it would be mutter if the water is flowing? Because then it doesn't look like oider. The fact is, now you have soft dirt that's piled on the side that's ready for planting. So that doesn't work. Ela, no. Ikka benai, who would the other way around, we can say the nafkamina between the two reasons would be, dechashokul minei v'shodi l'beroi. Suppose he takes the dirt that he's digging and doesn't throw it onto the sides, onto the banks of the water channel, but rather he throws it further away. Or avroi means outside, so maybe even he throws it outside his field. But at least, or if not, then at least he throws it someplace further away. So, l'manda omer mpnei shemachshu agapeha lazria leka. So now there's no problem of making the banks better able to be used for planting because the soft dirt is not going over there, it's going further away. L'manda omer mpnei shenira ka'odir ikka. But you have the problem that people, that it looks like he's hoeing the ground itself. So the Gemara says, okay, ulamanda omer mpnei shemachshu agapeha lazria, new. So even according to that opinion, don't you still have the problem? The fact is that it does look like he's hoeing. So why is that opinion that focuses on the banks of it saying, in that case, there's no problem because you're not putting the dirt by the banks. But the fact is you're also digging the ground and it looks like you're digging it in order to soften it up and prepare it for planting. The answer is because he doesn't look like that. Oido nami, because when a person is hoeing the ground, kikoshoku, when he's taking the dirt, the duchte manachle, he leaves it where it is. He doesn't throw it further away, because the point of hoeing is to soften the dirt. You're doing it, in other words, you hoe in a place, let's say, for example, on a hillside where you don't have, it's not really a convenient place to be, usually when you want to dig up the dirt, usually when you want to soften the dirt and plow, usually what you take is you take a plow, you hitch it up to animals, and you go plow that way. But on a, let's say, for example, on a mountainside, you would have a harder time doing that. So therefore, you'd be more likely to go and take a hoe, to go and take a shovel, a digging tool, and go start hoeing the ground yourself. Well, but when you do that, you're not going to be throwing the dirt that you dug up someplace else. You're going to be leaving it right there, because the whole point is you want to soften up that dirt and make it ready for planting. So therefore, now when you're throwing it further away, you don't have either problem. You're not actually making the banks of it more ready for planting, and you don't even look like you're hoeing, because then you wouldn't be throwing the dirt away either. So according to that opinion, then there's no problem, and you would be allowed to dig out the water channel on Shemitah, according to that opinion, when you're taking the dirt and throwing it further away. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amema masnilam neshinirka oider. Now, Amema learned like the one opinion that says that the problem with digging a water channel is that it looks like you're hoeing the field. The kash, and since he learned that way, the kashale did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ad Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which led him to point out that there seems to be a contradiction in what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying. Because he asked, so me, Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, kol shenirka oider oser, are you telling me that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would say that whenever it looks like you're hoeing, like you're digging the ground to make it ready for planting, then it would be oser? Which therefore he would be saying you're not allowed to dig a water channel because people aren't going to realize that you're digging it for the sake of making the water flow. People are going to think that you're doing, that you're digging in order to prepare your field for planting. Or a mini. But I have a contradiction in that case. If Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that that's the reason, on the other hand, we have a Mishnah in Shvi'is that says, Oysa odemas zivloi oitzer, a person is allowed to take the animal waste that he has and make one big pile of it in his field during Shemitah. Now, one of the things you're not allowed to do during Shemitah in your field is fertilize it. So if you were to go spread around this animal waste, then it would be fertilizing the field. That would be awesome. But here we're saying that you're not doing that. Instead, you're making one big pile of it in your field. So the Tanakhama says that would be mutter. Reb Meir oiser. Reb Meir, on the other hand, says it's oser ad sheyamik shloisha tfachim ad sheyagbiya gimel tfachim. Reb Meir says it's oser unless you either have a place that's dug three tfachim deep or a place that's three tfachim high, and then you pile the zevel, then you pile the dung over there, then it makes it obvious that you're not doing it in order to fertilize the field. But Reb Meir would say, if you have a place which is level or more or less level with your field, then you would not be allowed to pile it over there because it still looks like you're fertilizing the field. And the Mishnah continues, Hoyola Dovamort, what if you already had some dung piled up in the field before Shemitah? Merciful of Hoyolach, then you're allowed to continue adding to the pile. Then even the mayor would say that you don't need an area that's three tefachim deep or three tefachim high, because the fact that you had a pile, the fact that you had the beginning of a pile over there before Shemitah, shows that now when you're adding to the pile, you're not doing it to fertilize the field, you're just doing it in order to have a bigger pile. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, on the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Oyser, on the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah still says it's also ad she yamich shloisha, ad she agbia shloisha, unless you have an area, even if you had some dung there before Shemitah, you're still not allowed to add to the pile on Shemitah, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Ad she yamich shloisha, unless you have an area that's three tfachim deeper than the rest of the field, or ad she agbia shloisha, or unless you have a place which is three tefachim higher than the rest of the field. Oy ad sheyitin ala sela, or Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, okay, there's a third possibility. You could have a rocky area in your field, which obviously you're not fertilizing that area because it's rocky anyway. Then you'd be allowed to pile the dung over there as well. Because in all those cases, it doesn't look like you're fertilizing your field. So we see, in other words, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is concerned that it's going to look like you're fertilizing your field. By the same logic, Now, on the other hand, though, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying, now what he's saying, ad sheyamik or ad sheyagbia, means that during Shemitah itself, you're going to be allowed to dig an area in your field and make it three tefachim deep, or dig dirt and pile it over there in order to make a space, in order to make an area three tefachim tall, and then pile the dung on it. So we see that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is allowing you to dig in your field on Shemitah. So why over here would he be saying with a water channel that he's not allowed to? So again, Nela, if we say that the reason Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah asks it in our Mishnah is because you're taking the soft dirt and putting it by the sides of the water channel, and now you have better dirt to plant in. Okay, well, in that case, you're not doing that necessarily. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would allow it over there and ask it over here. But if you say the reason is with Nation Nira Ka'oider, because just the fact that he's digging the water channel itself looks like he's preparing the field to plant in, well, then why over here is he not allowing it? And over there with the Zevel, he is allowing it. So now the answer is Rav Zera and Rav Abba bar Memel. So now Rav Zera and Rav Abba bar Memel, who have their respective opinions about why Rav Elazar ben Azariah asks it in our Mishnah, they also have two different explanations how to reconcile that. Chad Amak Gunsha Hemik. One says that Rav Elazar ben Azariah does not mean that you're allowed to dig out that area three tefachim deep right now. He means if you have an area before Shemitah that was three tefachim deeper than the rest of the field, then now during Shemitah you're allowed to pile the animal waste over there, and it doesn't look like you're fertilizing the field. But you're right. According to that opinion, you actually would not be allowed to dig it out on Shemitah, and therefore Rav Elazar ben Azariah is being consistent. The other one says no. The answer is zivloi mechiacholav. The fact that you have a pile of dung over there, that itself demonstrates that the fact that you're digging over there is not in order to soften up the ground and get it ready for planting, but rather it's very clear you're doing it in order to make an area to be able to pile this dung. So even though. Usually you would not be allowed to dig during Shemitah, and therefore that opinion would say that you're not allowed to dig a water channel. That's why, according to that opinion, Rav Elazar ben Azariah would say you can't dig a water channel during Shemitah. But here, where you have a pile of dung that you want to put into that dugout area, then it's clear you're doing it for that purpose, and therefore it would be mutter. So either way that reconciles what Rav Elazar ben Azariah says. We went on in the Mishnah. Masakinas makokelas v'moyed. We said that if you have a water channel that was damaged, then you're allowed to fix it on kalamoyed. So my makokelas. What do we mean that it was damaged? In other words, that it got stopped up. So what does that mean? Amar Rababa sheim hoisa amuka tefach ma'amida al shishet v'achim. Suppose that it was only one tefach deep, then you're allowed to dig it out until six v'achim. Now, so Rashi over here, and also the Rambam, understand that we're talking about where originally it was six tefachim deep, the way an Amma is supposed to be, and now what happened was up to five tefachim of it got blocked with dirt and rocks and debris or whatever, then you're allowed to re-dig it out. But not that you'd be allowed to dig it out to begin with. On the other hand, Rashi Ksavyad says that maybe even it means that if it was to begin with, you only dug it one tefach deep, so now during Chol HaMoed you're allowed to dig the remaining five tefachim. So the Gemara says, now let's consider a few other possibilities. So what are we saying? That you're allowed to make it six times deeper. Now let's consider Pshita. Now it's obvious that Chatzi Tefach al Shlosha Tefachim, if the water channel originally was only half a Tefach deep, and now you want to make it six times deeper, you want to make it three Tefachim deep, definitely you can't do that. Kivin Delay over Maya Lab Kumu, since the water does not go through it well, so it's nothing. Both when it was half a tefach deep, that wasn't deep, half a tefach, is only an inch and a half or 2 inches. That's not enough for the water to flow well. Even three tefachim is not really enough. There's a reason why they usually dig an amma to be an amma, six tefachim deep. So therefore, there's no question you wouldn't be allowed to do that during Chol HaMoed, because then it's a tircha that you're doing for no particular purpose. You don't have enough there to begin with. You know, half a tefach is not enough for it to be considered any kind of channel. And three tefachim is not deep enough for it to really accomplish anything. So therefore, for sure, you wouldn't be allowed to do that. And vice versa, tifchayim al shnei maser. What if the channel was 2 tefachim deep, and now you want to make it 12 tefachim deep? So again, 6 times deeper. Then there's also no question that you can't. Then it would be aser for a different reason because of tircha yaseira. Once you're getting that deep already, then it's a big tircha to take the dirt and get it out of there and put it on the side. So therefore, you're not going to be allowed to do that. But the question is, tfachayim al shiva mahu. What if the channel was 2 tefachim deep and you want to make it 7 tefachim deep? So we're not talking about making it 6 times deeper. We're talking about adding 5 tefachim. Just like we said, you can go from 1 to 6. Well, could you go from 2 to 7? On the one hand, hocha chamisha kamamit. On the one hand, in each case, you're adding 5 tefachim to the depth, so maybe that's allowed. Maybe not. The difference is that here you're going 1 tefach deeper, you're going 7 tefachim deep into the ground instead of 6, so maybe already that's considered tircha yisera. You don't really need that extra tefach anyway, because you only need the amma, you only need the water channel to be 6 tefachim deep, like most of them are. So then, when you're doing the one more tefach, then you're doing extra work, which is unnecessary on Chol HaMoed. And the Gemara says, take it. So So we don't know the answer. Most of the Rishonim paskin that since, after all, these dinim of what's also in Mutter on Chol HaMoed are only Dirabanan, so most of the Rishonim learn that you would, in fact, be allowed to go from 2 to 7. And that's how it's paskin. Okay, so the Gemara gives some examples of things that Amoroyim allowed people to do on Chol HaMoed in this connection. Abaya Shara, the Bnei Bar Hamdach, Abaya allowed the people of Bar Hamdach, the name of a place, L'shachufi Nahara. He allowed them to shachufi a river. What is shachufi? Rashi over here says that it means that you have, for example, branches of trees that are growing into the river, branches or roots or whatever that are growing into the river and causing it to, and causing the flow to partially get blocked, then you're allowed to clear them out. Rashi Ksaviad says that it means more that, for example, you have rocks and dirt and whatever fall in there, then you're allowed to clean them out. So he allowed them to do that, and he allowed them to do that because it's similar to what we were just saying about a water channel that got partially blocked, where you're allowed to unblock it on Chol HaMoed. Reb Yumi Asharu Lehu L'Bnei Sechusa L'Michren Nahar Tzmima. By the same token, Reb Yumi allowed people from Sechusa to clear out a fountain, a spring that had gotten blocked. He allowed them to unblock it and allow it to flow again. Similarly, Rav Ashi, Sharlu, the name Mosse Machasya, Lak Duchi Nahar Bunis. Rav Ashi allowed the people of Mosse Machasya, which was the city where he was the Rav and the Rosh Hashiva, he allowed them to clear out the Bunitz River. Lak Duchi literally means to drill, because like literally they have to go and drill through the rocks over there in order to unblock the river. Omar, and he said, now why should it be Mutter? Isn't it Tirchi Yisera, when you have to do Lak Duchi, if you have to go drilling literally, isn't that great Tircha? Omar, but he said, no, kibun deshosim in erabim, since many people use that nahar bunitz to get their drinking water from, kerabim gami, that it's considered like a tzorchei rabim, utnan, and we learned later in our Mishnah, oisim kol tzorchei rabim, that you're allowed on Chol HaMoed to do things for tzorchei rabim. So here, since it's tzorchei rabim, then they're allowed to do that, they're allowed to go and clear those blockages and allow the river to flow cleanly again. Okay. Shabbat shalom, everyone.